Many of you are probably aware of my wife Amy's obsession with nativity sets. She has lost count of how many she actually has. And she has no idea that I had planned to talk about this today. But I have to also admit that I've done my part in feeding her addiction, getting her at least one new set every year. One of the things that frustrates her to no end are the sets that have three wise men, but only two camels. I hear all kinds of complaints when that happened. Things like, what were they thinking? Did they think that the wise men were going to ride double? Well, this year I purchased an additional set of figures for the nativity set that you can see as you enter in the front door there in the foyer. Partly because I broke the donkey when I knocked it off the table, but also because so she could have the right number of camels for her set, with an extra one just in case one gets tired. She goes as far as keeping the wise men way off in a distance, all the way through Christmas, up until the day of Epiphany. And then she moves them close to the stable, signaling the Magi's arrival with their gifts that were given to the babe in the manger. While not necessarily historically correct, I do appreciate her attention to detail. Our sermon text for this morning should be familiar to all of you. It is from Matthew chapter 2, where it reads, "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of King Herod the king, behold, wise men came from the east to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he who was born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him.' When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him, and assembled all the chief priests and scribes of the people. He inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, "And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel."' Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him.' After listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they had saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way." From Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. You probably noticed in the gospel that the writer Matthew doesn't tell us how many wise men there were or where exactly they were from or who they actually are. The term magi is Latin for the Greek word magoi, which when translated into English is wise men. To have been from the east, they were thought to have come from Persia and were of a priestly class. These priests studied the stars and had gained a reputation for excelling in their knowledge of astronomy. The Greek word magi has also become associated with royalty, and they are sometimes referred to as the three kings. Popular opinion dictates that there were three based on the gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Many of us know the traditional names of the three wise men: Melchior, Caspar, Belshazzar. There is an Armenian infancy gospel from the 6th century that lists them as Melkon, king of Persia, Gaspar, king of India, and Belshazzar, king of Arabia. These names are very close to our traditional names that we call them today. Now, the Vatican holds in their library an 8th century manuscript from Syria that narrates the mystical origins of the Magi, their encounter with this luminous star, and their journey to Bethlehem. It has been claimed that the earliest versions of this text originate or are written as early as the 2nd century AD. This manuscript, named or titled The Revelation of the Magi, flies in face of early tradition. It claims that the Magi were not Persian astrologers, as many believe. It defines the early Magi as those who pray in silence. The revelation claims that these men were monk-like mystics who were from a faraway land, as far away as China. The number that embarked on this very long trip was not 3, like popular belief holds, but a minimum of 12, and possibly as many as 60 or more. They were thought to be descendants of Seth, the 3rd son of Adam. The primary purpose of these men, these men that pray in silence, was to guard the prophecy that someday a bright star would appear, signaling the birth of God in human form. After evading Herod the Great and returning home, the Magi are said to have preached the Christian faith to those in their hometowns, ultimately being baptized by the Apostle Thomas. Now, the Apostle Thomas is actually better known for his ministry in India. However, it is still possible that they were baptized on their way home, passing through India on their way back to China. Now, the early church fathers had several different theories about the wise men. Justin Martyr believed that they came from Arabia, possibly Jewish temple priests that had gone into exile there. Other early church fathers linked the Magi with the 3 young men in the fiery furnace from Daniel chapter 3. Origen believes that the Magi discovered the connection between this miraculous star and the text from Numbers chapter 24, verse 17. I see him now, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star shall come out of Jacob, and a scepter rise out of Israel. It shall crush the forehead of Moab and break down all the sons of Sheph. Others see a connection in Psalm 72, verses 10 and 11, which reads, many of the kings of Tarshish and the coastlands render him tribute. May the kings of Sheba and Seba bring gifts. May all kings fall down before him, all nations serve him. In regard to these 2 verses, then, the arrival of the Magi would confirm that this prophecy was genuine, and they would prove to be a crucial witness to the birth of the true Messiah and the universal salvation that Jesus brings. The wise men also figured into early church discussions about the Trinity, either as witnesses to it, or the thought that the 3 Magi represented the Trinity. All of this suggests that the early church fathers attached great theological significance to these wise men, and it was reflected in early church art. The wise men's visit appeared more frequently in paintings than any other part of the infancy narrative. And evidence suggests that the Feast of the Epiphany was celebrated as early as the 4th century AD, celebrated as we do on January 6th, 12 days after Jesus' birth. That the 3 kings, as they are sometimes called, are not from close proximity to Bethlehem, but are from faraway lands, signifies that Jesus is not just the Jewish Messiah, but Savior of the whole world. Epiphany, then, has been called by some the Gentile Christmas. It's interesting that for most of the people that lived around Bethlehem, Jerusalem, and the surrounding areas, the birth of Jesus wasn't a big deal. They didn't recognize the baby in the manger as the Messiah. He was just another baby born. Commonplace, really. We may be guilty of that ourselves. Most of you have heard the Christmas story many, many times, and it really doesn't change from year to year. You've had years of Bible teaching and preaching in this church family, so you know it well. But you and I have this old sinful nature that works within us. We can reach this sad point where we no longer get excited about the Christ child coming. Because after all, we already know this stuff. We've heard it all before many times. That allows the devil to repackage this great Christmas message as same old, same old. So we don't embrace it with the gladness, the wonder that it deserves. We're really not any better than the Jerusalem folks that didn't care or even notice that the wise men arrived with their gifts, all excited about the newborn king. This chapter from Matthew and the story of the wise men should make us a little embarrassed, maybe even blush a little because of our neglect. A lot of us have this haste for Christmas to be over, to get back to business as usual. So we don't take the time to ponder this great event, Epiphany. We don't move our nativity wise men closer to the stable because our nativity sets are already physically packed away, either in our storage units or in the recesses of our hearts and our minds. This story of the Magi from Matthew shows us what a privilege it is for us to drop everything and get to where the newborn king lies. The wise men had to travel hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of miles to get to the Christ. We don't have to do anything like that. We've got Bethlehem right here in our church whenever the saving news of Jesus Christ is preached. And as often as the holy sacraments are offered here, there you have the Christ child. There he is, giving himself for the sins of all, paid for by his blood shed on the cross. Don't neglect this great event. Bring your gifts. Bow down in heart and spirit. Don't rest until you get close to this holy child. Take your place right where you belong, on your knees in wonder, next to the wise men who rejoice before him with hearts full of joy. Friends loved by God, that is the only way to respond to this great star of wonder, star of night. Let's take that westward journey with the Magi and let God guide you, let God guide us to his perfect light. Amen.